tired of the same boring and unhealthy diet of corporate media propaganda and the distraction du jour? Your antidote is here at Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Real, revolutionary, and relevant news and talk with fascinating and brilliant guests. Prepare to be informed and motivated with your friend and host, Cindy Sheehan.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. Well, today we're going to continue with a tradition that this is the seventh time we have done this. Brother Larry Pinckney is going to be on the show, and he's going to evaluate Barack Obama's performance. Larry was first on in 2009, and he wasn't evaluating his performance so much as evaluating the campaign that Barack Obama had just waged and the expectations of the left, which weren't exactly fulfilled over these past 6 years. But we're going to talk about current events and what's been going on with the Obama administration and what we can expect for the future. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back with our dear soapbox friend, Brother Larry Pinckney of the Black Writers Guild. Brother Larry Pinckney, welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox, and Happy New Year.
Well, right back at you, as we used to say back in the day. My sister Cindy, it's a pleasure, it's an honor. I'm always delighted to be on Cindy's, that is to say, Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. So thank you very much.
Well, you were on my fourth show back in January of 2009, and now you've been on, you were on a couple times last year, but this is your seventh January appearance, analyzing the resident-in-chief's, or I should say the thief's, stint as, whatever he is. He's a putative president of the United States. But you know what? Before I called you, I was listening to our very first interview that we did in January of 2009, just shortly after the coronation of Barack Obama. And I just have to say, I'm going to post the link this week along with the link for this show, because I just have to give us mad props because we were both very brilliant.
Well, we were also both very honest, right? And we were also both under heavy attack daring to speak the truth, right. Which people in 08 and 09 really didn't want to hear. So what can I say?
Well, and I'm not, I'm sure there have been many, many people, and in fact, I know there have been many people who are finally getting it and waking up to the fact that he's not the great hope or the person that was going to end the wars and stop the rising of the seas and whatever the else, hell else he promised in his speech. But you did say one thing, and this is a perfect segue to it. I wrote down a few things from that interview that you did say. And, I have to say that we were very prophetic, but like you said, we were honest and we were just analyzing the future based on the past. And so that's not so hard to do. If you are honest about it, and if you choose to be intelligent and look at the past and look at what things these people actually say or do, it doesn't really matter so much what they say, except Barack Obama promised a lot of crazy things that he has fulfilled. Then we were just actually just, being, like you said, smart and honest. But you said it's a recipe for disaster. No, a recipe for disaster is ignoring who Barack Obama really is and who he serves. And How do you think that people, how has that changed? How has the response to what you have been saying all along changed over these years? Do you think people, most people are waking up to who Barack Obama really is and who he really serves?
Well, to be blunt, I do believe, and I do see, quite frankly, more and more, an increasing amount of people who are indeed waking up. We're not there yet, but an increasing amount of people are indeed coming out of the slumber, if you will, that slumber that Obama and his handlers, I call him Brand Obama, because he was just a brand, like Kellogg's or General Mills, or he was a brand.
Right.
And people went for the goats. They, as Brother Malcolm X would say, they allowed themselves to be bamboozled. So today, in the year of 2015, in this new year, I think that it's very difficult for people to say, "My God, I went for the goats." My God, you know, it's not a question, Cindy, of you and I having been correct, having been even prophetic. You know, frankly, I wish we both had been wrong.
Oh, me too.
But we were, you know, but we were not wrong. As a matter of fact, Barack Obama has proven himself to be far worse, even, than even you and I had predicted.
Right.
He has gone beyond the limits. I mean, he has exacerbated what George W. Bush, his predecessor, had done, whether we're talking about Guantanamo, whether we're talking about bombing Libya and destroying that country in North Africa, whether we're talking about bombing Somalia in East Africa, whether we're talking about his drone strikes. As you know, I refer to Obama as drone man, drone man, bloody drone man. And, you know, this was something that even in 2008, when he was being pushed as a champion of the people, he was really the champion of the corporation. He was a champion of companies, such multinationals such as Lockheed Corporation. He was champion of Wall Street, not the people, Wall Street. His second largest supporter and donor, I should say, was in fact straight from Wall Street, Goldman Sachs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you and I and a very, very few others, handful of others, had the honesty and the intelligence to simply speak truth to power. And, you know, that's not an easy thing to do. We were both under heavy attack from people. Why, we were referred to as, you know, on the fringe. Yeah, they're just fringe people.
Right.
They don't, you know, and people were called, white people in particular, were called racist. How dare you speak out against this black man? Well, what this nominally black man has proven is that he is a puppet, a willing puppet of the system. The same corrupt, filthy, despicable system that both the Democrat and the Republican Party are an integral part of. So, my God, I guess I'm ranting. I'll keep quiet.
Well, we have we still have 2 years left of and at this point, I guess he's considered a lame duck. He's got a totally Republican Senate and House, and to me, I always say Barack Obama is the best Republican president we've had since Bill Clinton. But
that's right.
But see, Brother Larry, this is what frustrates me. We do have a lot of people who have awakened to the fact. You gave the list of his war crimes and crimes against humanity, But here at home, we've seen an increased militarization of the police. We've seen his crackdown on whistleblowers, truth tellers, protest, Occupy Wall Street, whatever was getting to be, large enough to cause embarrassment to the empire, there was a severe crackdown on. So, here at home, the most transparent administration in history, he promised, has actually been the most opaque administration in history. But so we have all these things, we have all these proofs, we have all these facts, but you're going to see, and I can guarantee you that in 2000 and this year, next year, they're going to be ramping up for 2016 presidential elections. If it's a war criminal, Hillary Clinton against Jeb Bush, you're going to see those same people who were finally coming around on Obama rallying around that. I hate to use this word. I'm not using it in the context of religion, but around that evil Hillary Clinton.
Yes. Well, I mean, Hillary Clinton is evil, and quite frankly, I think that's a very diplomatic term or adjective, if you will, to describe Hillary Clinton.
I could use other words, but my engineer would be mad at me because he'd have to bleep them out.
Yes, understood, and appreciated. What I'm saying is that they want to keep us, and when I say us, I mean everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. They want to keep us on the plantation. And I've said this for years and years and years now. Get off the plantation. Whether it's Democrat or Republican, it's a plantation. It's a plantation of mind control. They control the information, or really more accurately described, they control the disinformation and the misinformation that ABC, CBS, PBS, Fox News, MSNBC, all of them. They are purveyors of disinformation and misinformation. But if we are to get off the plantation, we really need to unplug from this madness. This is insanity. This is nothing but unmitigated insanity. All right? And, like the horrors that took place recently, just a few days ago, in Paris.
Right.
All right. But let's understand where these horrors actually emanate from. What brings these horrors about? We need to understand, as human beings first and foremost, and Americans secondly, we need to understand that what goes around, as we used to say back in the day, what goes around comes around. You can't commit atrocities in places, for example, like Fallujah. I mean, the horrible atrocities committed by the West, and the U.S. in particular, and door-to-door murders is what it was,
right.
Okay? And then expect that there would be no repercussions, or what the CIA refers to euphemistically as blowback. So these bloodsuckers, whether it's Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Hillary Clinton, or any other Democrat or Republican bloodsucker that they put up there, they know this. In fact, they thrive on it. They thrive on keeping people divided, keeping people in fear, keeping people, at each other's throats. The last thing they want, which they don't want, period, is for black, white, brown, red, and yellow, everyday, ordinary people to get together on our own and communicate directly with each other. So I'm hopeful that I actually see it happening. And both the Democrats and Republicans, which is really one party, I say and, but it's really one party that drinks from the same filthy corporate blood-sucking trough. But both the Democrats and the Republicans want to continue this phony, fake, left-right paradigm Look, I'm not about left and right. I'm about the people. Everyday, ordinary, struggling people. I don't give one petunia what their color is, what their gender is. I care about, and we must all care about our humanity. And if I care about my humanity, then I must, by extension, care about the humanity of all of us. So, but this is not what our so-called leaders do, and they're not leaders at all. They are misleaders. Okay, and mm-hmm. and I see the beauty of this, the beauty of the awakening. You know, awakenings are not easy things. They try to teach us or tell us, not teach us, they try to propagate this nonsense in their history books about, you know, George Washington and the cherry tree, for example. I'm saying this to make a point. We, the people in this nation, have got to stop believing in myths and mythology.
Right.
We have to open up our eyes and look at our lives, everyday lives, and we must take what we see and what we experience and bring it to each other, not the Democrats, not the Republicans, but to each other. We will win, but only if we do that.
So what do you see coming up with the new Congress? To me, you know, I just think it's this, like you said, this big show, this big game that's, you know, especially designed to do these things. It's like watching American Idol or something like that. Maybe that's how we should choose our presidents, is like everybody call in and vote for the more people call in to vote for American Idol than actually do vote. But I don't know if I can blame people. It's so rigged and it's just a farce by now. But what do you see the Republican Congress doing? I'm so sick. I was sitting in the hot tub at my gym the other night with this man who told me that Barack Obama was a socialist, or is a socialist. I'm just so sick of it. You know, you can tell what media people watch by, you know, by the propaganda that they regurgitate. So what do you see coming up on the horizon in this big ass show we have in Washington, D.C. called American Politics?
Well, I see what I call the Barnum and Bailey circus continuing.
Mm-hmm.
The difference, however, the difference is that, you know, there is a significant, or are a significant amount of people who have awakened. You know, who was it, Margaret Mead, that said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful people can make a difference. In fact, as she said, it's the only thing that ever has. So we need a critical mass of people, and I see this developing. I see it coming about. Now, as far as the Republican Congress, be it the House of Representatives or the U.S. Senate, let's remember that when the Obamatron, when the bomber, Obama, when Drone Man took office, the first 2 years, both the House and the Senate were controlled by the Democratic Party.
Right.
Let's understand that.
Right.
All right? And it didn't make any difference whatsoever. Okay? No difference. And I'm saying the same thing right now. The thing about the Republican Party is that they're pretty blatant in their insanity. The Democrats, on the other hand, are just as insane and, in fact, even more insidious. But they, like Malcolm X, he described the Democrats and the Republicans as being the foxes and the wolves. The Democrats are the foxes, the Republicans are the wolves. And when we keep buying into the same plantation politics, and that's what I call it, when we keep buying into that and going for the ghosts, you know, it's like going up into the fox, euphemistically or metaphorically speaking, going up to the fox and saying, "Who ate the chickens?" And the fox rubs his stomach and licks his lips and says, "Why, I don't know." And, you know, it's something that we need to use our common sense, or as our Chicano brothers and sisters would say, use your cabeza. And that's the last thing that the corporate stream, bloodstream, vomit stream, so-called news, because we don't get news, we get gossip. They thrive on gossip. We don't get news. We don't get truth. We don't get any of that. We get lots of gossip. And talk about this, talk about that, talk about anything but what we are doing to ourselves and what we are doing to people around and throughout Mother Earth. So whatever happens in the so-called Congress, quite frankly, I view as irrelevant. I think the most relevant thing is that people are awakening of all ages, young, old, middle-aged, whatever people want to call themselves. That's where we need to really direct our attention to everyday ordinary people, because in the final analysis, we are the ones who are going to make the difference.
Well, absolutely. And it's really hard when we have been beaten with this propaganda our entire life, really. But yeah. What do you think about the uprisings against police violence? How do you think how do you think that's playing out actually? And how do you think that may be used to exploit I'm not actually sure I'm asking the question right, but how do you see the uprisings? Do you think that they are a hopeful sign that people are waking up and ready to do more than just like sing a few songs and walk around and, you know, yell at empty buildings on Saturdays in Washington, D.C.? Or what's your analysis of that?
My analysis of that, Cindy, is this, that we need to intensify and re-intensify the linking, I repeat, the linking of issues. You know, what we do, and I'm saying we in the context of the United States, collectively speaking, everyday people in the U.S., what we do to other parts of the world, whether it's Iraq, whether it's Pakistan, whether it's Libya, Somalia, it's an endless list that won't be missed. But, you know, what we do, as Brother Malcolm said, will come home to roost. It will come home to roost. And ultimately, I think that's what these bloodsuckers really don't know how to deal with. And of course, they're going to do everything they can to neutralize us, to use the infamous FBI term. Neutralize meaning anything from imprisoning to murdering to framing to, you know, setting us up. That's par for the course. That's what governments do that are afraid of their people and want to manipulate them. But right now, this government, under Barack Obama, and even prior to Obama, but this government thinks that it can continue to bamboozle the people. And you know what? That's not going to happen. We have entered into an age now where we are going, in fact, a critical mass of thinking, critically thinking people is out there, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So I think you and I, and the handful of few of other brothers and sisters and brothers who were out there in 08, 09 trying to sound the alarm, I think that our mission, though it is by no means fulfilled, our mission has not been in vain. And as far as movements such as Occupy, these were seeds that were planted, important seeds, but seeds have to be nurtured. And when we think of, for example, the horrors in Ferguson or in Cleveland or in New York or in Oakland, California, we can go on and on. When we think of this, we have to understand that the military, and you've drawn this link, Cindy, that the militarization of the police is a U.S. police, the police in the U.S., is a direct result of the insanity and militarization of U.S. forces throughout Mother Earth. We really have to emphasize that to people. Get people to draw that link, to make that link. And I think that's happening. Not enough, not yet, but it is happening, and it's happening very quickly.
Yes, I'm frustrated with Occupy Wall Street. There were different Occupy movements around the country, but you know, I was encouraging them to make that link. It was like, you're upset about, you know, high interest rates on student loans. You're upset that you have to have student loans. You know, we're upset about homelessness. We're upset about, you know, the crimes of Wall Street. But if we stop spending literally, and I'm using literally in the way it's supposed to be used, trillions of dollars a year on the military industrial complex, empire, black ops, the CIA, spying, all these things, if we would stop spending that, if we made our major demand as an end to this empire, an end to wars, then because there is not, it's not ever an issue of not being enough resources, it's an allocation of resources. And if we could say, instead of allocating all this money to communities for tanks and tear gas and body armor and, you know, automatic weapons and everything else, instead of allocating that money for that, how about if we allocated for housing and education and, you know, clean food and all those kinds of things? Imagine what a fabulous country we would have. And if we took care of those problems here in the United States and ended the empire and started taking care of people over profit, that by extension would help the entire world, because we are the biggest drain and purveyor of violence, as Dr. Martin Luther King said, on the entire planet. And so the Occupy Wall Street, why don't you start talking about that, OWS? You know?
Well, you see, you're correct. But you were planting a seed, and that seed has to be nurtured. You see, people chop at the branches instead of going to the root.
Right.
You know, people often use the word, and I noticed the media, quote unquote media, using the word radicalization. And I laugh every time I hear it. I laugh to keep from crying, because the word radical is the Latin derivative. It comes from a Latin word. And all radical means is root, R-O-O-T.
Right.
And this is precisely what we, everyday people, need to do. So how they're using the term radicalization is wrong. It's a misnomer. It's an absolute, incorrect, wrong, okay, assertion of that term. We do need to be radical, but radical in the sense of what? Taking it to the root. If we want to have a farm, so we need to chop down some trees, do we go and chop down the branches and go, okay, there it is? No, because the tree is still standing. We have to go to the root. We have to, in that sense, let's understand, stop letting them, that is to say, the system, control the narrative.
Right.
And that's what, you know, you were trying to get across to, Occupy, for example, Occupy Wall Street. You know, don't go to the branches, go to the root. Because if you deal with the root, you automatically deal with the branches.
Well, speaking of, attacking the roots, and that's a brilliant quote from Henry David Thoreau. He says, for every 1,000 people hacking at the branches, there's one chopping the roots. So, I just want to talk very briefly about my new book. It's called The Obama Files, Chronicles of a Prize-Winning War Criminal. And, of course, the prize-winning is an allusion to his Nobel Peace Prize. And you have graciously contributed with a foreword to this book. And many people tell me, Brother Larry, they say, the people who would use every opportunity to slam George Bush, like, you know, he was in charge of anything, tell me if I say the same things about Obama, oh, Cindy, you know, he's not really in charge. He's really a nice guy, and he would really do the right thing if he had, you know, he was really the one in charge. But the only reason I ever even mention Obama's name, or the only reason I ever even mention Bush's name, is that's the symbolic, you know, it's a figurehead. The president is just like the Queen of England. It's a figurehead of the empire. And how can we, as these people who are chopping at the roots, trying to kill the roots, how can we highlight the hypocrisy? How can we tell people about these things if we're not consistent with our own principles, but consistent in the analysis? And so I'm hoping that even though Barack Obama still has 2 years left, I think by now the case has been made that it's a system, not a person.
Right. And, well, I mean, you put it very, very, very succinctly and eloquently. The fact of the matter is, of course, I refer to Barack Obama as blackface on empire, mm-hmm. and black in quotation marks, heavy quotation marks, but blackface on empire. Whatever face you put on empire does not change the empire. The empire continues to be what it is. And, of course, under Obama, it has been exacerbated. It is far worse, and it really doesn't matter whether it's black, white, brown, red, whatever face you want to put on it. Okay,
male or female,
really doesn't matter.
I can't wait till 2016 when I'm called a misogynist for being against Hillary Clinton.
I kind of have a feeling, Cindy, that there's a great awakening going on with respect to Hillary, the blood hunter, Clinton. Okay. You know, I think Hillary Clinton would make, Mary, Queen of Bloody Mary, as they called her, Queen of Scots, look like child's play. But I think we all are going to see, far more, awareness than we had, for example, in 2008. With this nominally black bloodsucker, prize winning, Barack Obama prize, referring to the so-called Nobel Peace Prize. Mm-hmm. Peace, of course, they spell peace differently than we do.
Right.
You know, they spell peace, P-I-E-C-E. A piece of this, a piece of that, a piece of this. All right.
And but we spell to peace. Pieces.
You know, it's true. We spell peace, P-A-C-E. Mm-hmm. And, it's very different, but I'm excited about the future. I see more and more people waking up, but you and me and others, many others, have the task at hand where we have to educate in the sense of, and I don't mean in a bourgeois sense of education, I mean we have to, you know, be so crystal clear. Once people, we plant that seed, the seed will grow if we nurture it, and we nurture each other. And that's what I see happening. Of course, you're not going to get that from CNN, NBC, MSNBC, Fox News, PBS. You're not going to see that. And then, can you blame them? They don't want the seed to grow.
Right.
You know.
Well, for sure.
But
they don't want
go
it
ahead.
To, they,
I'm sorry.
They don't want it. They don't want it to grow. They want it to kill it, and you know, undermine any kind of truth. But I just want to talk about one more thing before our time's up. We recently, although you wouldn't know it because it's dropped off the radar screen of that corporate lamestream media, the Senate torture report came out in December, and then almost immediately we get this a publicity stunt about that terrible Sony movie, and North Korea. And so the torture report drops off the face of the planet. But the thing is that, of course, Barack Obama, and this is a thing that I have been from the very beginning of, well, the end of the Bush administration, when Nancy Pelosi said impeachment's off the table, there's not going to be any accountability for the Bush crimes against the Constitution, crimes against humanity, and war crimes. But, you know, Barack Obama's administration has been so busy protecting the Bush administration while they've been persecuting people like Chelsea Manning and trying to get Edward Snowden and Julian Assange for telling the truth and things like that. But people are like, oh, we have to make the Obama administration, we have to make them investigate and, you know, put on trial the torturers from the Bush administration. But that people don't realize Obama's not going to do that, because he's doing this same exact thing as the Bush administration did, and he wants that same professional courtesy from the next president.
Of course, of course. Again, this goes back to the parable that I used earlier about going to the fox and asking the fox who ate the chicken.
Right.
Okay? Obama's the fox. He's licking his lips, rubbing his tummy and saying, I don't know. Who? I don't. Meanwhile, he's gorging himself on, when I say himself, I'm speaking metaphorically. Because obviously it's not only Obama, it's his handlers, his big corporate handlers, you know, including, by the way, Republicans like Dick Cheney.
Right.
Okay? I mean, let's be real, let's be honest. If we're going to change things, if I have a disease, and I want to live, and I want to do something, then first I have to recognize that I have a disease so I can deal with that disease so I can keep living, right? And this is what we in this country, in the United States, must understand. Stop going for the ghost. Stop allowing ourselves to be so stop allowing ourselves to be distracted and diverted. And that's what they did. Your example was very, very good with respect to I love that example that you just gave. You know, here's Obama protecting the Bush war criminal. Well, of course he's going to do that. Of course he's going to. That should be no surprise. But people want to say, he would be different. No, he wouldn't. All that's being done is to keep us on that plantation. I call it the plantation of divide and conquer, or the plantation of perpetual misery. And we're the only ones who can break out of that plantation. When I think of John Brown or Harriet Tubman, it goes on and on and on. When I think of the true, real freedom fighters of both genders and all colors who made the ideals, I repeat, the ideals, not the reality, but the ideals of this country worth really struggling for. And you know, it's not just about America, the United States of America. It's about the people, black, white, brown, red, and yellow, throughout our precious Mother Earth. And so, you know, I guess I ranted a little bit.
I love you, because I just have to say a few things and then you do most of my work for me. But the one thing I do want to say, too, is that not only is Obama not prosecuting the Bush administration, they've used a lot of resources fighting in court against any kind of accountability to hold the Bush administration accountable. But they sent 3 U.S. attorneys to Sacramento, California to prosecute me in my war tax resistance. So, you know, so that just shows you they're protecting the person that murdered my son. Well, not the person, the symbolic person that murdered my son and, you know, so many other people, but they're going after me. And so that just shows you, and this was under Obama, not under Bush. I didn't even get a letter from the IRS when Bush was president.
And see, this is the whole point. You get me excited here, because we need to stop being hypocrites. Stop it. Stop being hypocrites. Get off the plantation. Stop talking about, well, he would be or she would be. No, no, no. Be honest. Be honest. That's the only way we're going to bring about real systemic change. And that's what we need. That's what we must have in this country, real systemic change. And I want to, at this point, I want to urge all of the listeners to the program to share this program with all their friends, neighbors, and enemies, all right? Share it with everybody, all right? But also, very importantly, to read Cindy's book. To read your book, Cindy. Say that. Say the name of the book again, just for the audience, if you don't mind.
The Obama Files, Chronicles of a Prize-Winning War Criminal. And it's most of my articles that I've written since the inauguration in 2009. So it's a history. It's a history of the not only the Obama administration, but the so-called movement against, you know, the so-called anti-war movement, which really turned out for the most part just to be an anti-Bush movement.
Right, right. And they were complicit with ongoing, they were and are and continue to be complicit with ongoing treachery and war crimes against not only the people throughout Mother Earth, but the people even here in the United States. So I would urge everyone to read Cindy's new book that's coming out. And I tell you what, Cindy, I tell you what, that if Brother Howard Zinn were alive, if the late Howard Zinn were alive, I guarantee you he'd have your works in his next writing. So we just, you know, Ricky Hatton, and you know what I'm talking about, Howard Zinn,
right,
the author of A People's History of the United States.
Right.
You know, so you are not only following in Howard, Brother Howard Zinn's footsteps, but you are trailblazing. And that's what we have to do. We have to be trailblazers. We're not going to get no kudos. We're not doing this for kudos. We're doing this for the sake of humanity, period.
Yes, exactly. I say my grandchildren and all their little grandchildren, colleagues around the world. That's who we do it for. Right, and you're following in Howard Zinn's footsteps because he wrote the foreword to my second book. So, so you're writing the foreword to number 8, and I really appreciate it. And it's really a wonderful foreword. It's a little embarrassing how kind you are to me because, you know, I just get up in the morning and do what I think is right. And like you said, we're not doing it for kudos, but we're only human, and solidarity and kindness and support. Like you said, we have to support each other. And so I'm
glad that
we've been friends along these last 7 years, Brother Larry, and we're both still hanging in there. So tell my listeners your website. I am going to link also that first interview that we did, and maybe I'll link all the interviews if people want to go through these last 7 years, and because it is a good reminder and a good history, a recent history of what this nation and world has gone through. So what's your website and how can people get a hold of you?
Okay, well, the website is Black Activist WG, stands for Writers Guild. So it's blackactivistwg.org. Please go to it and especially look for the archives. The archives come all the way up to January of 2015 and go all the way back to the year 1968. I hope that people will find it fascinating. And also, I would urge and encourage people to read Intrepid Report. I happen to write for Intrepid Report as an associate editor. It's not just my writings. I mean, you know, it's not about me or you, Cindy. It's about us. This is a we struggle, not a me struggle. But go to Intrepid Report, intrepidreport.com, read the articles by some fantastic writers. So, and some of your articles actually, Cindy, are in Intrepid Report.
Fair.
But anyway, that's it. I mean, the struggle goes on. A lucha continua.
Well, Brother Larry, thank you so much again for being Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. You're a great friend of the show and a great friend of truth and justice and peace. So we just want to wish you a happy new year, and we'll be in contact throughout the year, and it should be an interesting one.
Put it mildly. Put it mildly. Stay strong, my sister. Love you, and okay. Stay very strong.
Okay, okay. Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For this week. As always, I hope you were educated, informed, and inspired. And please check out our website, CindySheehanSoapbox.com, or the Soapbox People's Network, and check out the posting for this show and listen to our first show that we did in 2009. And listen to how really wise Brother Larry Pinckney's analysis is. As always, I'd like to thank Don DeBar, my engineer, my production assistant, Dee Dee Miller. I'd like to thank Brother Larry Pinckney for his consistency and his commitment to peace and justice. And as always, I'd like to thank you the most for listening and supporting the show. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Peace out for now.